How wonderful it is to hear those sweet words. The scripture says, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I was asked during our time together in our visit to Israel, my impression. What is your impression, Pastor, of this holy place? I said I have about 3 years worth of sermon materials. And I thought this Sunday I will give it all that I have for 3 years. But I decided I think it's a little bit too much. But I think if you want to capture the whole essence of the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus, it is precisely in those words, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord as he entered into the holy city of Jerusalem. And I was asking myself also in these last few weeks, well, which is more significant than the other? How can I weigh all of these experiences and come up with a very clear and concise answer? But I realized that in each step of our journey of faith today, like our own faith, is a reaffirmation that faithfulness cannot be erased by the passage of time. That is the gospel. The faithfulness that we have cannot be erased by the passage of time. But instead, it is only strengthened, empowered, emboldened. And this is really the gospel story lived in our daily, in the ordinary ways, yet very extraordinary also in many other unsuspecting ways. I think for most of us, as we come together this holy season, this Palm Sunday, most of us love to hear messages about how powerful God is today. You know, in Hebrew, they never say the word Yahweh. They use many different words. And as I was looking at some of the guidebooks, some of the literature that we received, whenever the word God is mentioned, there is a letter missing. I thought that's a misprint. But I kept on looking. So every time the word God is spelled, letter O is missing or D is missing. Or if it is Yahweh, one word is missing. Because for the Hebrew people, the word of God is so sacred that it is very important for them to honor that by not repeating the word of God even in public prayer or private prayer. But most of us love to hear the message about how powerful God is. And for us, we say that Adonai, which is also another name for God, is rock. We can say God is a fortress, a strong tower. We can say that God is the king of all creation, and at the sound of his voice, the earth really trembles. But Adonai is also Jesus' own Abba, or Jesus' own Father. And I was thinking about that because I know what that really means. And I think most of us know that, Abba, which is also Daddy. But you know, as we were traveling, I heard it from the lips of children as they were wandering around, as they were running off in different directions, as they were looking at souvenirs, as they were looking at food to eat. I overheard this young boy calling out to his own father, and he said, Abba, Abba. Of course, I don't understand the rest of what he was talking about. It was in Hebrew, but I can understand Abba. We were given Hebrew phrases. All I can remember is Todah, which means thank you, and also the word Sababa, which is very good. You know, those are the only words that kind of stuck in my own mind. But this young boy was calling out, Abba, Abba, Abba. And I think it was saying, Abba, come here. I want you to take a look at what I'm looking at. I want you to be excited as I was excited. And so his own father just kind of like, you know, dad just kind of trampled along and said, yeah, I know what it is. But this young boy was saying, Abba, I want you to see this. And so I think this is what Jesus was saying. Into the city, Jesus entered following the call of his own Abba to go into Jerusalem. And when you take a look at the book of Mark, Mark supplied the details. And Mark said, you know, Jesus went first into Bethany and Jesus went into Bethpage before he finally entered into the city of Jerusalem. We didn't go to Bethpage or to Bethany, but I read in the scripture that Bethany was a place of hospitality. Mary and Martha owned a place there. And Lazarus, who was Jesus' friend, also lived in that house. And you remember the story that Jesus was offered hospitality there and he broke bread in this place. You know, Mary was the one who sat at the feet of Jesus. Martha was the one who was minding the kitchen. And you know, the rest of the conversation, how come Mary is not helping me in the chores of the kitchen? So that's Bethany. Bethpage is a little bit, I'm not really sure what Bethpage is all about, except in this portion of the scripture. But when I look at the scripture, it says Bethpage is the house of unripe fig tree. Now, it doesn't make sense unto us, right? The house of unripe fig tree. Until I read and I realized that this is the place where the Jewish leaders, the Sanhedrin, you know, the court that was appointed to judge Jesus, this is the place where they set rules for legal measurements. So if you want to make sure that you have the right measurement that is according with the law of the Torah, you go to this place. If your scale is not up to measurement, you go to this place and they will determine whether it's the right it's the right scale and the measurements are good. So if you want to determine the piece of land that you are going to purchase, you go here because this is the place where they make all the rules and legal requirements. Why would Jesus tell them, go to Bethpage and try to find a young colt, untie it and bring it to me? You know, for the first time, I was thinking, why would Jesus do that? Why would Jesus tell them to go to Bethpage and get an animal to be used for him to enter into the holy city of Jerusalem? And so I was thinking that perhaps Jesus is reminding God's people that when we enter into a new relationship with God, there is a different way that we are measured. God looks intently at the contents of our own hearts. And so Jesus went into the holy city, you know, and people spread branches cut from the fields. I haven't seen so many palm trees and palm branches in my life, but in the ancient of days, the palm branches were always used as a symbol of victory, as a symbol of God's grace. Even the uncommon grace in the midst of our lives. And so Jesus entered into the holy city. We call it the Golden Gate, and some people call it the Gate of Mercy or the Gate of Repentance. And this is where Jesus entered into this holy city. This is the place, according to biblical prophecy, that the Messiah will come again and will establish the new kingdom. This was the vision that the people of Israel heard. And so Jesus entered into this holy city. Now it is sealed. The Ottoman Empire sealed this gate sometime in the 1500 because the Ottoman Empire believed that if they do not close this door, this would create such horrific acts and perhaps violence. Can you imagine if all of a sudden someone comes again into that gate and say, I am the King of the Jews. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So Jesus went into this holy city. But I was thinking about the mood of Jesus. I think the mood of Jesus was really somber as people greeted him. I think the mood of Jesus was really serious because the people were saying, Hosanna, which really means, oh, save us now, Jesus, our new King. Jesus knew that dramatic things were about to unfold. Heaven and earth coming together. And now God is in charge. And if God is in charge, Jesus is indeed our life. And so the gospel is deeply engaged with the matters of faith. You know, how can we live a vivid life? And Jesus is saying, if you want to have a vivid life, fruitful, abundant, as we look at the scripture today, one has to be firmly rooted in your love for God. Nothing else will substitute about your love for God. And as I was thinking about these scripture passages, in the back of my mind, who were there? Were there philosophers there? Were there artists there? Were there people there who can really make a good argument about God? When I look at the scriptures, I realize that the people who welcomed Jesus were ordinary people, just like you and me. Ordinary men and women and children simply weaving branches, saying Hosanna in the highest. I don't think all of them have the physical stamina, you know, to follow Jesus all the way because of the poverty. Not only of physical poverty, but also of spiritual poverty. Some say that the kind of hope that we have is simply wistful thinking. Now, I don't know if you recall that back in the mid-60s, there was a Time article magazine by a German philosopher, Friedrich Nietzsche, that says, God is dead. It was big back then. God is dead. I think there's a movie that says God is not dead, but that is the different story altogether. But there was this German philosopher that says God is dead because he said that there is moral mayhem that is pervasive in our society today. Therefore, God is dead. There was a Christian novelist who wrote Brother Karamazov, Crime and Punishment. Maybe you remember that in your classics, right? He said that without God in our lives, everything is permitted. So can you imagine a non-believer and a believer in Christ agreed that the absence of God is really dangerous today? When I read these two words, I realized that our faith really matters. That our faith can live and coexist side by side even when we have our own moments of doubt. But when we have these moments of doubt, I give thanks to God because God speaks to us. God speaks to us when we are happy, and yet there is that inexplicable moment of sadness. Hopeful, and yet, you know, we are not immune to what is happening around us. Because if you really want to walk with Jesus, then you really have to trust that in your walk there will be disciples. There will be people who are going to walk with you along the way. Because spirituality is not a solitary walk. And I think that is some of the problems that we have today, that we think that we can pursue our own spiritual path on our own today. I think that's bogus. I think that is not genuine spirituality. Because our discipleship is a walk with friends and sometimes with strangers. And this is where we find the Jesus of Palm Sunday today. So Jesus entering into that holy city, it is Passover. It is Passover right now, the beginning of Passover in Israel. And it was a happy time. And we know the story. The deliverance, remembering the deliverance from slavery to freedom from the Egyptians. Yet the reality of bondage was before them. The reality of dislocation. The reality that all is not fair and equal. And it is happening not only in that place, because I think it is happening in all places. And that is why the scripture is powerful. Because Jesus looked at the community, at the people gathered, and Jesus had compassion for the people of Israel and saw him like a sheep without a shepherd, you know. A sheep without a shepherd is just running loose and running astray. But this cornerstone that Jesus said, that is now to be inaugurated, was rejected. Although there is rejection, there is that promise of the resurrection. Jesus kept on insisting that the kingdom of God has come near you. And in closing, I want to share, I think you know this, about a segment during the Titanic. As it was coming down, there were musicians who were playing. And according to my reading, those two musicians were Methodists from England. And they were playing songs as the ship was coming down. They refused to give up hope. They refuse to believe that God is not present even in those most difficult times. The hope that we have reminds us that we have a treasure, not in earthen vessels. God can do the most impossible because of His great love for all of us, a light to the nations. So what we do in response to the initiative of Jesus in our lives can really make a difference. What we do and what we share with one another in our own time is really setting the stage, setting the foundation. I like what the psalmist says when he offered this prayer. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Because if we have that faith and confidence in Jesus Christ, wherever we are, and whatever circumstances in life we may face in, I think it is with confidence that we say, you know, my dear friend, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. Because the faith that we have, the hope that we have, you cannot erase that. Not the passage of time. If God is our refuge, if God is our rock, He's going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.